Network.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, April 30th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. To be sure, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I started putting together, I just had some names rolling around in my mind, started putting together a list, I suppose, in conjunction with coverage of the death cult ideology and its subsuming of American culture and really sort of enveloping the globe as a creeping darkness. And it's a long list, to be sure. Probably come back to it at some point very soon. It's very incomplete, but so far it's, I think, pushing 200 names, and just a few, maybe, I don't know, fewer than a handful of Arkansides. Arkanside is an entire subseries all to itself. Holistic Doctors is a subseries unto itself. The JFK cover-up is obviously a sub-series. James Fetzer and company have done a good job of collecting names of folks who met untimely demises in attempts to cover up the truth about the JFK assassination. And there are others, other lists, but it's interesting, you know, when you start to look at the list, it's a very, very small circle of folks who, and forces who would benefit from the demise of these folks, you know, people like presidents, and including not just JFK, but, you know, President Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, William McKinley, Zachary Taylor, Warren G. Harding, and, you know, other high-level political figures, you know, the power elite, basically, as C. Wright Mills defined it, folks in those circles, that sphere of influence. And it's very interesting, you know, there is a small group of folks who would benefit, and specifically, in particular, making sure that certain things didn't happen or were not brought to public light by folks who had the credibility to make those things widely known publicly and obviously change the course of history. So that's interesting. And at the same time, there are a number of things and, you know, events that celebrate anniversaries around this time of year. You know, May Day is coming up, and that awful plot that was allegedly launched, as the story goes, some 242 years ago now, by Adam Weishaupt, the Jesuit priest defector, and his main co-conspirator, the Mayor Amschel Bauer, who changed his name to his daddy's money-changing business, Rothschild, the former rabbinical student. They used all of their ill-gained knowledge to, well, kind of help bring us to where we are today, unfortunately. So there's that, but there are a number of other things. And that sort of brings me to, again, to where we are. And where is that exactly? Well, there, yeah, I got one of the emails I received recently. This Henry Makehouse story, paraphrased down by Henry Makehouse, he says, abridged by Henry Makehouse. The story by James Perloff over at henrymakehouse.com, titled "James Perloff, 1950s TV Had a Moral Purpose." And that story is linked back to James Perloff's original article, "The Real Reason There Was a Golden Age of Television," quote unquote. And even the golden age of television was, you know, even in the 50s, it was still questionable. And you go back in the roots, you know, Hollywood had that era in the 30s where it was very scandalous at the time. And so we had to have standards for the motion picture industry, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, anytime you try to abide by the notion, the fallacious notion of self-imposed standards and those things, you're doomed. That was why we had, at least in theory, in the beginning of our constitutional republic, separation of powers, checks and balances. And of course, today, power wields itself through the that death cult apparatus, basically the what I referred to in the ongoing series as the murderous proxy, the U.S. power elite, NME, MIC, IIC, MSS, death cult, a.k.a. Masonic Brotherhood of Death. And speaking of the Masonic Brotherhood and the fraternal orders, that handshake, I dare say most people probably didn't catch it, but did you happen to catch the handshake, the Noko Soko famous handshake? I would call it the most overtly Freemasonic handshake ever seen on video from South Korean President Moon Jae-in, in particular with obviously Kim Jong-un. The North Korea-South Korea summit handshake. Very interesting. So, you know, beware the hidden hand. But I digress. So, this article. Back to the article. Henry Makow's abridgment of James Perloff's article at henrymakow.com, titled James Perloff, 1950s TV Had a Moral Purpose. So what was it? Well, from the article, what made 1950s television shows so appealing was their morality. They permitted no cursing or sex scenes. Any violence wasn't graphic. Furthermore, do you remember, I mean, just as an aside, you know, Andy Griffith was a peace officer. He wasn't armed. Never carried a pistol. Barney and his one bullet. Meanwhile, you know, always getting excited. And, you know, Andy was always able to work through things in a dignified and diplomatic sort of manner. Continuing, furthermore, most shows' plots ended with a positive moral lesson. Honesty, respect for others, doing the right thing, self-control, and other virtues were upheld. Superman began every episode reminding children that Superman fought for truth, justice, and the American way. On 50s TV, crime didn't pay. Alfred Hitchcock had a uniquely clever way of circumventing this rule on his show. The criminals would often get away with it, quote-unquote, but in his epilogue, Hitchcock would dryly remark that they were later caught and paid their debt to society. Although Leave It to Beaver became, in recent years, a favorite target for ridicule by jaded comedians, when I attended elementary school, my classmates avidly watched it. Almost every story presented a right or wrong choice for Beaver and or his brother Wally. Temptation usually came from Wally's friend Eddie Haskell and sound advice from his brother's father, Ward Cleaver. In retrospect, Eddie and Ward seemed to loosely symbolize the counsel of Lucifer and God. I find it interesting that in real life, actor Ken Osmond, Eddie, went on to become a Los Angeles policeman, and actor Hugh Beaumont, Ward, held a master's degree in theology and was licensed to preach by the Methodist Church. The cast clearly included some righteous dudes. So why did all this change? It certainly wasn't because Americans demanded that cursing, sex, and gore be added to their TV diet. As a journalist for 3 decades and student of the New World Order, quote-unquote, for 4, I've realized that 1950s television was a carefully set trap. To lure a mouse into the trap, you've got to insert some cheese. Exactly. In this case, the cheese was television's facade as a positive tool that would teach your children integrity and uplifting life perspectives. And that's just what it did, even though it occasionally pushed messages a bit to the left of America's center. And it's interesting, by the way, as a parenthetical aside, that if you think about it, in the Western world, when you think left, in terms of a timeline, left is usually backwards. But I digress. I believe the nostalgia Americans generally feel for the 1950s is based largely on the values society held, and that television was, in fact, reinforcing those values by presenting strong role models. If you watch The Honeymooners, the show is hilarious, but Ralph would almost invariably learn a life lesson along the way, classically hugging his forgiving wife with the closing words, "Baby, you're the greatest." Even with the conniving Sergeant Bilko, 1955 to 59, the earlier episodes usually ended with a heartfelt message, such as Bilko expressing regrets at having cheated someone. Whereas by the final season, everything was strictly for laughs at the sergeant's cunning and greed. The ratings dropped and the show was canceled. American society was prevailingly Christian then, and to get television into the household and to those households required presenting it as a purveyor of Christian morals, however repugnant that may have been to the studio head's true feelings. And just again, as a parenthetical aside, you know, I mentioned last week the religion, the prevailing religion in this death cult ideology these days in America. Prevailing religion is Scientism as a subset of technocracy or justification of it. And there are others, obviously. There's, you know, Eastern mysticism and some other things that are mixed in. But Scientism is used as a justification for technocracy. Technology is the handmaiden of technocracy also. But Scientism is its religion. So, and it's, you could argue almost, I think it would be easy to argue that Scientism has become sort of the state religion in America. And the problem is, again, that this preempts God in most, if not all, ways. God is the miracle maker. He is the one who changes hearts. And so in life, in the fashion of Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, the good of those who love him. Revelation 21:5, Jesus speaking, "Behold, I make all things new." In the Greek tense, it's the perfect. "Behold, I'm always continually making all things new." He is the miracle maker, the author of miracles, the one who changes hearts. So the point is, that's what a miracle is. That's one of, you know, the miracles. It's not that God breaks his own rules. It's that the way I describe it, he maybe bends them, so to speak, in the same fashion that you play the piano, for example, or the guitar, and you make beautiful music by bending the strings, or a harp, for instance. And so he's able to do that, and amazing things happen, miracles happen, and he gets the credit when lives are changed, when the countenance, if you will, of society and people are lifted, when our humanity, so to speak, is lifted, when we are made better, he gets the credit. He gets the glory. But today, that's been preempted, and, you know, you look at all of the shows and the propaganda and things around us, again, enter this kind of creeping incrementalist darkness. You can see how everything has been turned upside down. Again, Pike's letter to Mazzini and the Third World War, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists, that sort of thing comes to mind, and all order, all traditions and things have been turned on their head. Nobody knows how to behave. Nobody remembers any traditions. And those sorts of institutions have all but been done away with. So that is the unfortunate preempting of God. Although that is not to say that he is defeated or defeatable or powerless. And we'll get back to that when we come back. Stick around more right after this break.
Exceptional guests to provoke critical thought and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So the point is, God is the author of miracles, changes hearts, makes the world better. You know, again, that image, the operative concept is that of, you know, the stained glass windows that tell a story. And that's what God does. He takes broken things and makes them better than new. That's what he does in this existence. Anyway, without getting too far off track, that's an important concept that's being abrogated from society. Now we're encouraged to believe that the soothsayers of data will fix us all, and you know, it's utterly disordered life and existence, so to speak. If you try to adhere to that mindset, it's just nothing but questions, more and more questions. No answers, just questions. So again, that passage, I think it's 2 Timothy 3 that John refers to, always learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's what you end up with. And, you know, God made it simple. Just the, you know, a short list. And actually, it's even shorter than that, because Jesus was asked, which was the greatest of the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The second is like unto the first. Pretty simple. Anyway, continuing from Henry Makow's abridgment of James Perloff's article, this is where things change, or shift, pun intended. The occult shift. Okay, so how did television go from model citizen to deadbeat, from Bible and values, family values, to today's sex gore, foul language, political correctness, ridicule of Christianity, and even satanic occultism? And there's more and more of that satanic occultism with each passing, season, with each passing season. There's more and more of that stuff. And so it becomes impossible at some point, years, probably even decades ago, to argue that it's just a coincidence, this shift. It's not a coincidence. We'll get to that in a bit. The answer, they pulled one of the oldest tricks, boil the frog. And it's said that if you want to boil a frog, you can't just toss them into boiling water. Instead, you put them in lukewarm water and gradually turn up the heat. That way, the frog never realizes he's been boiled. This is what television did to Americans. No degradation could have been introduced in the 1950s because half of America's households still didn't have a TV set. I believe substantive change didn't begin until 1963. When home ownership of televisions reached 91.3%, or near saturation. And you think about it, coming forward to today, we are dominated by this planned obsolescence sort of mindset, coupled with the technology and the devices. 5G is another one of those issues on the horizon, right? There are a number of videos you can find on YouTube, for example, and articles about 5G emitting radiation 3,000 times the advisable standards or even legal limits, which is insane. You know, having a microwave, a giant microwave oven about every 250 feet, I'm sure that won't be deleterious for everyone's health. It's just insane. But how do you opt out at this point? You know, how could one be a household without television, or that would not, I mean, you just get automatically bumped into the next thing. If you're not going to be part of the 5G network, well, then I guess you're not going to have a cell phone. And if you're not going to have that, I mean, I've seen posts in different places on the web, people asking, literally asking, are there any landline carriers in this area? Because that technology is being sunsetted, obviously, to herd folks into a narrower and narrower cattle chute, again, in the fashion of the death cult ideology. Because, I mean, how do you argue, again, that all of this is a coincidence if These things are increasingly harmful and deleterious? One of the things I thought about opening today's broadcast with was the soundbite that most of what passes itself off as modern medicine today is rooted in eugenics. And you know, the Thomas Malthus, Francis Galton sort of concept that, well, some people should not just procreate, but exist in that the fashion of that George Bernard Shaw clip we play from time to time, Fabian Socialist George Bernard Shaw, and others should not. And the average person gets sucked into this nonsense, you know, stupid people shouldn't breed. Really, you're a eugenicist now? Again, God makes those decisions. And so, like Thomas Jefferson said, if we think that people are too stupid to breed, then we should inform their discretion through education. Paraphrasing Jefferson, this is the true remedy. And so, you know, we have that opportunity. It's interesting, you know, the problem with the argument that stupid people shouldn't breed is that where is the line? It's a relative statement. We're all stupider than someone, arguably. So where do you draw that line? And everyone wants to draw it right behind themselves, but it doesn't work that way. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.
Short break, wasn't it? So back to the article, the occult shift section. I believe substantive change did not begin until 1963, when home ownership of televisions reached 91.3%, or near saturation. At this juncture, the fish was baited, and like Thomas Jefferson wrote, do not bite at the bait of pleasure until you know there is no hook beneath it, right? The fish was baited, and studio heads could start tweaking content. Television sets were expensive then, so no one was apt to throw theirs away over minute progressive content alterations. I personally remember TV's different feel in the fall of 63. Leave It to Beaver and Dobie Gillis were suddenly gone. ABC stopped showing reruns of Father Knows Best. Donna Reed was America's mother, right? What happened to that? Anyway, The Outer Limits premiered, introducing a new level of creepiness. My favorite Martian-made aliens, parenthetically, who many of us understand to be demonic, very human friendly. Sure, it was mild stuff, but that's how you boiled the occult frog, starting with cuteness as Bewitched did with witchcraft in 1964, and I Dream of Jeannie with magic in 1965. I guess as a parenthetical aside, you know, again, Jefferson, remember that remarkable letter to Samuel Kirchhoff back in July of 1816? You know, the "I am not among those who fear the people," that one, "they and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom and to preserve their independence. We must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude." That one I mention often. In that letter, he also wrote a little bit further on, "A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, till the bulk of society is reduced to mere automatons of misery, to have sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering. Then begins indeed," he wrote, "the bellum omnium in omnia, which some philosophers observe to be the general in this world, have mistaken it for the natural instead of the abusive state of man." Exactly. And where are we today? The bellum omnium in omnia, I would argue. And the forehorse, to Renee's point last week, the forehorse of this frightful team is public debt. Taxation follows that, and in its train, wretchedness and oppression. And so you can guess where I think we are today in America, unfortunately. So continuing, on June 17, 1963, the Freemason-dominated Supreme Court had ruled that reading the Bible in public schools was suddenly, quote, unconstitutional. Hugo Black, William O. Douglas, Tom C. Clark, Potter Stewart, and Chief Justice Earl Warren were all members of the craft, ensuring a 5-4 majority of men who apparently held their oath to the Brotherhood above their oath to the Constitution. Coupled with the court's previous decision banning school prayers, God had now been officially expelled from classrooms. Kennedy's assassination was itself, I believe, a reflection of the spiritual pivot of 1963, and on its heels came the Beatles and the Vietnam War. The powers that be wanted America, or shouldn't be, as it were, wanted America converted from a biblical culture to a Talmudic, Kabbalistic one, from a Leave It to Beaver society to a drugged up, free sex, no God, Woodstock society. They succeeded. It took only 6 years, 1963 to 69, and television played its part, incrementally boiling Christian values out of the frog soup. Today, news broadcasts are purveyors of a matrixed reality which America's concealed oligarchy wants viewers to believe in. Exactly. And it really is. So just a parenthetical aside on the drugged up, free sex, no Woodstock society. There is an article over at Medium that was published. That's it, right? I think it's over at Medium. Yeah. By Ahmed Kabil. And somehow he managed to write his article without a single mention of the CIA, which is virtually impossible. Anyway, the title of the article is "This Magical Drug Mansion in Upstate New York is where the psychedelic 60s took off." Owned by one of America's richest families, Millbrook hosted Timothy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Charles Mingus, and more. And it's a colorful tale, colorful read for those who are interested. But William Mellon Hitchcock was not your typical acid head. Billy, as he was called, was a tall, charming, blonde stockbroker in his 20s. Who worked at Lehman Brothers, for one. He was heir to one of the largest fortunes in the country, for another. And he had a trust fund that lined his pockets with $15,000 a week to do what he pleased. This was back in the 60s, by the way. That was more money than, that was, well, yeah, more money than a large part of the country made in an entire year back then. So anyway, it's an interesting companion article, I would say, just, you know, published recently. Actually, it was published July of last year, but fairly recently, shall we say. But like I said, it's interesting that no mention of the CIA. You got Timothy Leary and LSD and all of the other, you know, the Harvard psilocybin project is mentioned, Richard Alpert. How can you mention these things without mentioning the CIA? It's a masterful job, I think, of not mentioning the CIA by Ahmed Kabil. But again, I digress. So back to James Perloff's, well, Henry Mankow's abridgment of James Perloff's article. Concluding Mankow's abridgment, Perloff writes, Satanist Anton LaVey, pictured in the article, the founder of the Church of Satan, affirmed what I have been saying about television's gradualism and even noted that TVs were intended to replace family altars. From Anton LaVey, quote, the birth of TV was a magical event foreshadowing its satanic significance. The first commercial broadcast was aired on Walpurgisnacht. More on that in a minute. April 30th, 1939. Remember I opened the broadcast, I said a number of things have anniversaries. We'll get to that in a second. Walpurgisnacht, what is that? Well, again, my German is horrible, I apologize, but the first commercial broadcast was aired on Walpurgisnacht, April 30th, 1939, at the New York World's Fair. Since then, TV's infiltration has been so gradual, so complete, that no one has even noticed. People don't need to go to church anymore. They get their morality plays on television, and there are actually channels dedicated to that. But guess what? One of the most popular, if not the most popular, it has the same, emblem, I guess, the same logo, I guess, as the Rothschild coat of arms, the family coat of arms. Again, I digress. Continuing, people don't need to go to church anymore. They get their morality plays on television. What began modestly as rabbit ears on top of family TV sets are now satellite dishes and antennas pridefully dominating the skyline, replacing crosses on top of churches. The TV set, or satanic family altar, again, Anton LaVey said, has grown more elaborate since the early 1950s. From the tiny fuzzy screen to huge entertainment centers covering entire walls with several TV monitors. What started as an innocent respite from everyday life has become in itself a replacement for real life for millions. A major religion of the masses, the clergy of the television, of the TV religion are those entertainers, newscasters in particular, who nightly spread the word, capital W, from their cathode ray pulpit. And that's the end of the quote. What the Golden Age's brief glow did prove, however, was that television, like any artistic platform, be it literature, theater, music, or the graphic arts, can be a force for integrity, faith, and society's good. How I wish it could experience a renaissance. But it was never intended for that, unfortunately, James, and you know that. But, you know, other little nuances aside, the fact that, you know, the alpha wave programming of your brain, putting your brain in an alpha state, you know, that issue and the other mind control patents, Aaron and Melissa Dykes have done a good job of documenting a lot of that over at True Stream Media and their YouTube channel, videos on that, and a number of other folks. Those kinds of things aside, the scrying mirror nature of all of these black screens now all around us, you know, the sacred geometry golden mean or golden ratio aspect of the screen sizes. Now they're all that golden mean or the sacred geometric ratio of the scrying mirror screens. All of that aside, back to Walpurgisnacht, what was Anton LaVey saying? And this, I think, is another provocative insight into where we are today. You know, if you do a quick search for Walpurgisnacht, some of the entries that you'll find, thoughtco.com, this entry, Walpurgisnacht, the German pagan celebration, CVLTNation.com, Walpurgisnacht, a history of the Night of the Witches. That's what it is. It's the Night of the Witches. It's a pagan celebration. Then, you know, there's the, oh gosh, what do you call it? Cliff's Notes, I guess. Grade Saver. Goethe's Faust, this entry. Goethe's Faust summary and analysis of Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht dream, night's dream, gloomy day field, night open field dungeon. Walpurgisnacht. The scene opens in the Harz Mountains with Mephistopheles and Faust climbing on a narrow road. Mephistopheles, remember Mephistopheles, you know, Sting singing about it with the police? Mephistopheles is not your name. I know what you're up to just the same. Mephistopheles offers a magic broom to help Faust climb. But Faust says he would rather walk. Anyway, you read the rest for yourself. So, offers him a broom. So you'll find entries like that, but even from the Wikipedia entry, it's interesting. You know, we know how Wikipedia is sanitized and whitewashed. The Walpurgisnacht or Walpurgisnacht Wikipedia entry is a particularly damning example of the way that Wikipedia is. This is just a blatant, I think, rewrite of history. Because the average Joe, the unwashed masses, reads the Walpurgisnacht Wikipedia entry, you come away with a very different picture. It doesn't seem occult, demonic, satanic. I mean, even though Saint Walpurga, from the Wikipedia entry, Saint Walpurga was hailed by the Christians of Germany for battling pest, rabies, a whooping cough, as well as against witchcraft, end quote. In Germanic folklore, literally witches' night was believed to be the night of a witch's meeting on the Brocken, the highest peak in the Harz Mountains, a range of wooded hills in central Germany between the rivers Weser and Ibe, or Elbe, excuse me. The Christians, well, again, it's very misleading. And you don't sort of come back to that subject matter really until the end of the entry. But it's interesting that, as Wikipedia notes, this is a festival or commemorative celebration observed by the Roman Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, and Anglican Communion. So I think that kind of gives us a hint as to where we are in this society today in America. You go from James Perloff's article and Henry Mackow's abridgment of it, fast forward to today, and you know, you have television programs named Lucifer, for example, and there are numerous others. This is not an this is not an accident, and it's not innocuous. It's not you run a great risk. You know, I mean, I guess maybe one of the best ways to frame it is for those who have ever messed around with the occult, you know, like Ouija boards, for example. It's you know, television is a gateway in a very similar sense, and gateway, you know, very, very literally. Some of the comments, though, from Henry Mackow's abridgment of James Perloff's article are provocative, too. And maybe I'll touch on a couple of those. Mark said on April 29th, the problem isn't that the Supreme Court banned the reading of the Bible. It's that there are public schools in the first place. Even the term public schools is deceitful. They are government indoctrination centers. Note the decline in that institution. 100 years ago, an eighth grade education prepared a person to go into the world with a sense of what the world was like. And I would add, by the eighth grade, those same folks had an understanding of how to run their municipality. Continuing, now people with postgraduate degrees can't even perform basic logical reasoning. Logic and critical thinking are those are graduate level or postgraduate level study courses now. So, I mean, how can we expect, you know, anyway, just kidding. Let alone write a coherent paragraph that doesn't have multiple grammatical errors. And it's ironic, this Mark, he writes can even when he meant to write can't. There are some other grammatical, you know, whatever. I digress. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Segment already of the first hour of today's broadcast, this Monday, April 30th, 2018. So is it me or is it ironic, again, from Jefferson's remarkable letter, Thomas Jefferson's remarkable letter to Samuel Kirchhoff, H. Tomkinson, a.k.a. Samuel Kirchhoff, that he also wrote, Jefferson also wrote, private fortunes are destroyed by public as well as private extravagance. This is the tendency of all human governments. You know, departure from principle, et cetera, et cetera, that passage. But further on, he wrote, but I know also that laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. As that becomes more developed, more enlightened, as new discoveries are made, new truths disclosed, and manners and opinions change with the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also and keep pace with the times. We might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him when a boy, as civilized society, to remain ever under the regimen of their barbarous ancestors. Does he include himself? You know, looking back from today. It is this preposterous idea, Jefferson wrote, which has lately deluged Europe in blood. Their monarchs, instead of wisely yielding to the gradual change of circumstances, of favoring progressive accommodation to progressive improvement, have clung to old abuses, entrenched themselves behind steady habits, and obliged their subjects to seek through blood and violence rash and ruinous innovations, which, had they been referred to the peaceful celebrations and collected wisdom of the nation, would have been put into acceptable and salutary forms. Let us follow no such examples, nor weakly believe that one generation is not as capable as another of taking care of itself and of ordering its own affairs. Is it me or is it ironic that he wrote that, and yet we see today, again, the sort of system that John Adams wrote about in a dissertation on the canon and feudal law, the settled design on foot to enslave all America, done by degrees. Again, Jefferson's letter to Kirchhoff is instructive. Departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, until we're pointed in, you know, 180 degrees in the wrong direction, a Masonic, Illuminized, Satanic, you know, Talmudic, Kabbalistic, Sabbatean, Frankist, on and on sort of direction. And unfortunately, that seems to be where we find ourselves today. Little hope short of a miracle by the grace of God, what I would call Jonah's gospel, you know, a reprieve from total destruction. Yet 40 days was the message to Nineveh. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle